So, perspective is critical. It's critical at all times of life, and one of the ways that our faith helps us in this regard is by offering us a very healthy and a very realistic perspective. And it's a perspective that restores us and helps us to reset again and again. And we need to hit that reset button sometimes, and no doubt this is one of those times. Because a lot of what we have known before that we would consider normal has changed. A lot of things have become discombobulated for the time being. And so, two of the ways that we're going to talk about that this morning is that first, we're going to revisit the idea of what normal might be. And we're going to do that by looking at other people who have experienced certain things over the years. And I like doing that because it helps me to get outside of myself. It helps to shake me out of this comfortable little bubble that sometimes I find that I create, not on purpose, but it just happens, that revolves around my experiences, my expectations, and I tend to kind of project this out and say, my experience is normal. But there's a bigger experience out there. So first we're going to do a reality check that includes listening to our scripture by St. Paul and what he experienced and how he responded to that, and then what some other people have experienced. And then second, we're going to look at what I think always follows on the heels of a reality check, and that is genuine hope and genuine faith. And with that, we're going to begin with some words that I find comforting, and it may be in a bit of a strange way, I don't know, but I do find these words very, very comforting from the Apostle Paul. I find them strengthening when I'm facing difficulty. And maybe it's because when I hear these words and the experiences directly from the Apostle Paul and what he endured and how he dealt with that, I find that I hold that up against my own experiences, my own situation, and one of the things that I find, I come to the stark realization that my challenges have never exceeded his, for one thing. And that's a good recheck and reset. And then number two, maybe I find the strength in his words because of the way he presents what he's gone through. And that is, he's clearly not complaining despite what he's going through, but he explains it very matter-of-factly, and he does so in a very spiritually grounded way, and he always concludes whatever he's going through with faith. And he does that because of his faith, and he does that because that's what Jesus did. And so instead of conveying despair, he transmits confidence, comfort, understanding, and this undergirding of peace and otherworldly calm. And he never loses his love for God or his love for life. And so we'll start with these words from the Apostle Paul that he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 through 31. He offers his experience, perspective, grit, love, and faith through some difficult times. He writes, "Three times I have been beaten by rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I've been shipwrecked. A night and day I've been adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches." And then he says, "Who is weak? And am I not weak? Who's made to fall? And am I not indignant? He says, if I must boast, though, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And he concludes by saying, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus is to be praised forever. May God bless our understanding and our living of this word of truly abundant life. So perspective, hope, and genuine faith, things that we all need, things that I need. And with that, I want to take a brief walk down a little history lane, and as I do, I just want to be clear that this is not to minimize any person's struggle who is wrestling with things right now, but just taking a little walk through human history. Because these are some things that I think about when I read the Apostle Paul's words and what he went through. I think about what so many other people, millions and millions of people have gone through with incredible adversity. I think about, first of all, Revolutionary War, because it's close to home. I can imagine those times. You know, people right here in Fairfield, you know, a lot of it was fought right here on this soil in Fairfield, down the Connecticut coast. I think about how in 1779, Fairfield was completely destroyed, burned to the ground, total destruction. Crazy stuff to live through and to try to maintain. I think about the Civil War that occurred 75 years after that, with 620,000 American casualties. Cousin fighting against cousin, brother taking up arms against brother. A country torn apart physically, economically, emotionally, wrecked. But from these experiences, what did we do? We rebuilt, and we became stronger. And with the revolution, it became the birth of our nation. And then there was World War I for 4 years. World War II, 6 years, 4 years for Americans. Vietnam War, 20 years. Korea, 3 years. The Iraq War, still going. Race riots, protesting. So much that we have been through, and we rebuilt. And because of a certain perspective and faith and determination, we've become stronger through all of it. And Europe rebuilt, my gosh, we think about 26 million Russians who died in World War II. 6 million Jews. Terrible. Unthinkable. We have been through a lot. And now, in our world, except for the time being, but we're visiting these places. And these people who previously we had taken up arms against in war have become some of our best friends. Many of the people we would have never dreamed of. We think about Germany, Italy. Would anyone during World War II, in the heat of Germany under Hitler or Italy under Mussolini, have ever dreamed that they would have become some of our greatest allies and greatest friends? We think about Vietnam. Who would have ever dreamed, not me for sure, Vietnam would become a vacation destination? It's almost beyond the imagination, really, what we as human beings have not just gone through and survived, but across time have thrived. Great Depression, plagues, famine. There's a lot that we deal with in this life. And there's so much stuff like that that it's actually oddly pretty normal. It's a pretty normal part of humanity in a way. It's bad. It's painful. But sadly, pretty normal in how regularly it happens. So when I read about what Paul went through, the Apostle Paul, and how he not only maintained his faith, but through what he went through, thrived and lived to be a light and to be a help for others, it makes me think that it seems like there are really two ways to go through life. Given the inevitable that we are going to take hits in this life, because it's part of normal, it seems like either one, we can hit the ground and stay there, or two, rise again. And our faith in this regard says a lot about that one. And just to be clear, our faith never says, don't feel it, or that you're not going to feel it, or that it's good. It names it for what it is. And I feel it. I get stressed. I get tired. I hurt. But the difference is, with our faith, we have resiliency. And that resiliency has to do with what do we constructively do with it? And so here's our final point, and that is that the perspective of faith and resiliency, it isn't finally just about us. And it isn't finally just about how we ourselves deal with this difficulty, because this is the Christian faith and it's not looking out for number one. So we're also about lifting other people up, pulling other people through. And not just with good wishes and emotional encouragement, but you know, when people are hungry, what do? We give them food. When people are in need of health care or support with that, what do? We help to provide that and give support there. We're helping to pay bills or relieving isolation, social isolation. We're helping to bolster education here and out in South Dakota, that with the work that we do on the reservation, or to help buffer against homelessness. So when things get tough, instead of folding, we even get into more action and more activity and reaching out. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're contacting all the organizations that we help support, and we're asking, what special needs, what additional needs do you have at this time that we can help out with? The youth, because they're not in school, have stepped up, and so many of them have volunteered to, as Laura said, to shop and to help deliver meals or get prescriptions. We have gotten a number of offers from our church members and friends. What can we do? How can you put us into service? How can we help? And this is how we are rapidly shifting and responding to and dealing with as a church, serving as a resource, as a spiritual, social, emotional, even physical help with resiliency, with healing, and with strength, with faith and action. And this is how also each one of us doesn't just maintain, but helps to strengthen our faith and our buoyancy to find some way in a time like this to help lift others up and be God's light in the midst of darkness. And that, in short, is how we do it. To close along these lines, I just want to say one final thing, and it has to do with what Laura was talking about earlier with the children's sermon, and that has to do with be very careful, be very intentional, and choose what you're looking at, what you're focusing on. And so I want to add that we haven't just endured a lot of things through humanity and in our lives, but there is so much to be thankful for. And so to find the gratitude in whatever situation presents itself is a huge part of our faith. And so I just want to pause for a moment to reflect on the fact that through this, What else do we have? We have each other. We have God. We have our faith. We have love, not only to be loved, but to extend love and make a difference. We have our communications, to be able to be together right now through television, through our computers, through our phone, through the internet. We have shelter. If you're in a shelter, thank God for that. We have heat. We have family. We have our church family. We have our sanctuary. We have the sunshine. We have spring that arrived 3 days ago. That we're not going into this in November. We can be thankful for that. Summer's coming. The birds are coming back. The birds are singing in the morning. These are a few things, and the number of things that we have to be grateful for at this time are endless. And so I just want to encourage you, I want to invite you to build that list yourself and add abundantly to it. Don't fall into the trap of defining your life by what you've lost or by what you can't do. And so to close, I just want to close by reading together, those of you who have this little reflective thought by Paul Bear Bryant. He was a coach long ago at Alabama Crimson Tide, and he wrote this. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. What I do today is very important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. And when tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place I've traded for it. I want it to be a gain, not a loss. Good. Not evil, success, not failure, in order that I shall not regret the price I paid for it. May we endure our hardships with faith. May we thank God for our blessings. And may we always use our lives to shine God's love and light. Amen.
We welcome your presence with us in this moment, God. When we join together, united in our love for you, offering these very raw prayers of our hearts. In these uncertain times, God, you are the energy that binds us. You are the power that holds us together. You are the substance of all that is. We are 4 weeks into the season of Lent, the season of renewal and new beginnings. And so it's ironic that we are faced with this new reality, this strange new way of life. But isn't it interesting, God? Isn't it interesting how humanity is rising up to this challenge? How we see people taking precautionary actions to protect the global family. How people play music from their windows for all to hear. How people are reaching out to their neighbors with shopping and offers for cooking and taking care of them. How nurses and doctors and medical staff are staying away from their own families so that they can care for us. How our teachers are working to stay connected and trailblazing new ways to provide authentic and meaningful education to our children and youth. Isn't it amazing how businesses have adapted to find creative new ways to serve their clients? and how houses of worship all over the world are working to continue to share your words of peace and love and compassion and hope to all your children. And this global crisis reminds us, God, that we are just that. We are your children. And so we take this time to stop and to be with you, just you, to take some deep breaths, to breathe in your peace, and to breathe out our anxiety. In these quiet moments, help us to let go of everything that is a burden to us, our fears, our frustrations, our worry, so that we simply can connect with you, keeping in mind that you are surrounding us with your peace, with your hope, and with your love. So we ask you, God, to open our eyes to all that remains good in this world. The budding trees, the blossoming flowers, the singing birds, the warmth of the sun on our skin, the sparkle of the stars in the night sky. All reminders of the glory of your creation. And so in these days ahead, God, help us to remember to take some quiet moments each day to spend time with you in prayer, in conversation, or just in silence. Because we remember what Mother Teresa said, we need to find God each day. And God cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. And the more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life. This is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.